Chofa Dar Beis, Wednesday the 30th of March, Dr. Sholem Springer, The Role of Chukim.
Thank you very much. Amend the title slightly. It's the role and practice of Chukim, and in particular, Parshas Porah. So let's start at the beginning. I'm going to draw on a few sources, some of them brought in the shiurim of Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, Zatzal, and some from the Be'er Yosef. So our parasha, the Parshas Porah, which is the, so to speak, pardon the pun, the Avi Avos of the Chukim, it is the greatest of them and most difficult of them, as we know. And the Torah tells us about it in the parasha in Chukas, which we will line in the coming week for Maftir, Zois Chukas Hatayu. So we know that there is a chayik involved, and Rashi tells us that the Torah is telling us the fact that it's a chayik right from the start, not sort of leaving it as an apology at the end, but Zois Chukas Hatayu. Before we begin to talk about the subject, the Torah introduces it, you should know that it is a chayik. At the end of the day, we will not be able to fathom it. So it's a deep mystery and an impenetrable mystery. And the question is, what does the mystery refer to? Now, usually, normally, we say that the mystery refers to the procedure itself. The whole inyan of Porah Aduma, its procedure, the burning of this part and that part, of producing the ashes and the sprinkling. And of course, at the end of the day, Metaher Tameim, or Metame Tahirim, that is an enigma and a paradox which makes it more difficult than all the other chukim. Let me just explain that point before we move on. If I've got a chayik which says to me that I'm not allowed to wear woolen linen in my garment, okay. So, sorry about my croaky voice, I'm just at the end of a coming. I hope you'll put up with it and can hear me. So if I've got a chayik which says I'm not allowed to wear shatnas, fair enough, I accept, not allowed to wear shatnas, I don't know the reason, it's a chayik. And that says no more to say about that. But if I've actually got an internal contradiction, which means that it's metame tahirim and metame tameim, so in other words, the same thing could have two opposite effects, that's something that my seichel cannot understand. And that's why the Porah Aduma is more deeply mysterious than any of the other chukim. I can accept the other chukim, but this one, I have an intellectual problem. So that's how we normally understand the mystery of Porah Aduma. It's because of the contradiction. Now, there is a sefer quoted by Rav Bernstein, and he quotes the writings of Rav Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer. And he has got a very novel approach, which I want to put over to you as best I can. Now, we all know the Rashi. Rashi on Chukas starts off. Lefisha Soton v'umasoilom moinim es Yisroel. Because the Soton and the Goyim are moinim es Yisroel. You could translate that, make late sonas, or they have a complaint, or they moinim es Yisroel. Loima, ma mitzvah azayis. What is this mitzvah? Ma tam yeshba, what reason has it got to it? That's why the Torah tells you, you should know, for us, at the beginning, before we start, that it's a chayik, gezeirahi milafonai, ein lecha reshus lahari achareha. And you have got no reshus lahari achareha. What those words mean, we'll need to translate. But the fact is, that, as you know, in the Yotzis we say, quoting the Medrash, Chukoch or Kapti, I have made this as a chukoch, and Ein Rishus L'Harei Acharecha, that's where this Rashi's quote comes from. So it seems that giving tamim, giving rationality to the Porah, that's out. That we can't do. There's a shaila about that. There's a question, obvious question, that sort of hits us in the face. As soon as we learn the Inyan and the Parsha of Parshas Porah, we see that this is not so. Because despite the fact that Chazal tell us, we know that Shlomo HaMelech tried very hard. In fact, there's a pasuk that he writes, He says, "Omarti echkama v'yirachaykin himeni," which I'm afraid tell us is referring to the Parah Adumah. That Shlomo HaMelech seems to have fathomed, seems to have worked out and unravelled all of the chukim, but when he came to Parah Adumah, he drew a blank. He could not. "Omarti echkama," I thought I would be very wise at the end of my studies, "v'yirachaykin himeni," and I still find the reasons for Parah Adumah very far from me. I have not got my mind around it at all. So what we see there is that Shlomo HaMelech did try. So how can Chazal say, "Ein lecho reshus lehare achareho"? You're not allowed to think about it. So we also know, Rashi tells us, of course, you've learned through the parasha, that Rashi brings a very reasonable pshat in the whole of the Parah Adumah. In fact, bringing Moshe Adarshan at the end of the parasha, Rashi works through, as Moshe Adarshan does, bit by bit, element by element, matching all the processes of Parah Adumah with the Maaseh Egel. So the Maaseh Egel, right up to the end, where you mix it with water, mix those ashes with water, and then you sprinkle it there by the Egel, what did Moshe Rabbeinu, smashed up the Egel and pounded it into dust, mixed it with water, and got the people to drink. So every item, every facet of the Egel is matched and married up to the process of Parah Adumah. So how can you say that we haven't got a reason for Parah Adumah? We've got perfectly good reason. So, having both of those problems, we know that there is a mitzvah to try and work out the meaning of a mitzvah. And you know, many of our great meforshim, notably, first in line would be the Sefer Chinuch. Anyone learns the Sefer Chinuch, and he deals with all the mitzvahs in the Torah, all 613, I should say 620. Because he not only does the 630 Deraisa, he also does the 7 Midrabbanon, and all the 620 mitzvahs, the Chinuch works his way through. And the second paragraph in every mitzvah of the Chinuch starts with Sheirish HaMitzvah. And the Sheirish HaMitzvah is actually what we want. The Limudim, etc., and the Dinim, which is the beginning and the end, one can leave. You find that in greater elaboration elsewhere. But the Sheirish HaMitzvah is where he gives you the reason. And he talks about the chukim as well. So have a look, for example, Basav HaCholov. He's got a whole baraka about it. Maybe it's the same as Kishu, maybe it's the same, yeah, the same sort of mixing. He's got a reasoning, an approach to all the mitzvahs where he's trying to work it out. Then later Mefarshim, the Malbin, for example, Rav S.R. Hirsch, yeah, talks about in this week's Seder, which is Shmini, talks to you a lot about the chayk of the kosher animals, etc., and the whole Indian of Trefus. They're all chukim. So in other words, many, many of our illustrious Mefarshim have tried very, very hard to try and get to the bottom of and get underneath the reasons. And on the contrary, Taka says in Tezim Dibre Yomim, Da'es Erekei Avicha V'Abdehu, that when we actually do the mitzvahs in practice, that we should try and comprehend as much as we can about a mitzvah to the limits of our ability. And our abilities are different. Presumably some people could comprehend it to a greater degree than others, but to the limits of our ability, we all should know what we are doing. So let's retranslate what we said before. Ein lecho reshus lehare achareho does not mean try to think about this. Do not try to think about this. Because, of course, we've proved that it cannot mean that. Of course, we should try and think about the mitzvah. Of course, we should try and get to the underneath, sort of the skin of the mitzvah, and try to understand as much as we can according to our abilities. What it means is that having tried, having put our efforts into finding a time, a reason, at the end of the day, if we can't do so, like, for example, Parah Adumah, if we can't do so, Elon Ahare means to query, to start saying, well, there's nothing in it, I tried very hard, I tried to work it out, there's no rationale, and therefore to negate, so to speak, the precepts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what it means. You mustn't have a hero, just like hero tshuva means a change of mind. So hero, the other way, also means a change of mind. You must never change your mind. Your attitude to the mitzvahs should remain exactly the same. The fact that you can't penetrate it intellectually is a limitation in us, so we can't. We're not given some information, but that shouldn't affect our attitude to it at all. So we try, if we can't, leave it, and without an explanation, you know, Yiddish once says, "Von Akasha Stahnish." Here we carry on going, we do our mitzvahs with the same syllabus, etc. So that's the normal pshat that we say, Eilach or Rishus L'Harechreya means you mustn't have a heretical thought. Let's try another approach to these words. So Reb Moshe Darshan tells us that the reason why we have Porah Adumah is in order to be mechaper on Yehuda. It tells us the whole story, that if a servant makes a mess, a child of a servant makes a mess in the palace, then the father is, mother is asked to clear it up. And that is the parallel between Porah Adumah and Egel. Egel makes the mess, and the Porah has to clear it up. We all know the Rashi. So, the fact is that we have a kasha. We know that the mitzvah of Porah Adumah, it's a Rashi, and Rashi on this pasuk, Shom Som, Koyfa Mishpot, Shom Nisol, Rashi tells us a number of mitzvahs were given at Morah. Morah is lined straight after the Shira in Peshach. I've always wondered about that, actually. Why do we spoil the Shvi Shel Pesach lining when it ends on a high, okay? That Tikach Miriam, Asadov, etc. We're on a high, and then we line that last bit about Morah. That's a kasha. Why? All right, in the Torah, Shteitel. But on Yom Tov, why did the Chachamim introduce the lining of Morah? There are a few terutzim. But two terutzim that I like is that in order that no one should say afterwards, you know, they eat the gullible. They were gullible. Yeah, they were speaking of the Red Sea, it was a trick, etc. They weren't gullible at all. Comes along a problem, yeah, a bit of waters, etc. And they have a full voice. They are very, very critical. So Achon wanted to teach us that at no time were they eaten gullible, they didn't swallow it all whole. On the contrary, they never lost their critical faculty. And that's why we add on that bit. Apeshah, there are others. So, getting back to our subject, Maisa, Reb Moshe Darshan tells us, and Rashi quotes it, that we were given the reason for the Porah Adumah was the Egel, in order to mechap on the Egel. And this is a kasha, this is a shaila which hits us in the face. Since the mitzvah of Porah Adumah, perhaps not the mitzvah of its practice, that only came with Har Sinai, that's true, but the mitzvah of learning about Porah Adumah was given at Morah. Morah occurred before Matan Torah, before the Maisa of the Egel. So we have a problem that the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving us a mitzvah to learn about the Porah Adumah, and that is meant to be mechaper on the Egel, which we haven't committed yet. So the Ribbono Shel Olam knew that we were going to do that sin of the Egel, and so he gave us the mitzvah of Porah Adumah in advance, so he knew already that we were going to do the mitzvah of Egel. This is a problem. It's a philosophical problem which the Rambam brings. The Rambam puts it under the heading of the problem of Yediyah and Bechira, a very well-known problem that the Rambam raises, and it's this, in a nutshell. We can re-explain what we've just said about the Porah Adumah and the Egel in general terms. We know that the Ribbono Shel Olam knows the future. He knows what we're going to do, which means that the Ribbono Shel Olam knows that I'm going to do a mitzvah, or I'm going to do an aveira, chas v'shalom. But he knows it in advance. So if he knows it in advance, then I don't have any bechira. It's determined already. The Ribbono Shel Olam knows how this maisa is going to end off, that I'm going to do an aveira, and therefore what choice do I have? The Ribbono Shel Olam already knows it. On the other hand, if I have full bechira, if I have full free choice, then obviously the Ribbono Shel Olam cannot know it in advance. This is the problem and the stira that the Rambam describes as the problem of Yediyah, the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Bechira of the human being. They conflict with each other. They can't work together. And indeed, one thing obviously negates the other. You can't have both. You can think about the problem, for example, that I once heard posed by Rav Mordechai Miller in Gateshead in one of his shiurim. He said, what happens when an irresistible force meets an immovable object? Think about it. What happens? An irresistible force meets an immovable object. What occurs? Well, if it's an immovable object, it can't be an irresistible force. If it's an irresistible force, it can't be an immovable object. Okay, won't give you the answer. I'll let you to work it out. Interesting philosophical point. But explosion. You've still got an effect. What happens? It's irresistible, it's immovable. Okay? So, that's the question as posed a question posed by Rob Miller, and if anybody wants the answer at the end of this, I'll give you the answer. Right, let's get back to Yediyah B'chira. This is the Rambam. And the Rambam says, the Rambam explains to us, and the Ravid's not happy, but the Rambam explains that the Rabbeinu Shlomo's method and process of thinking is completely different from our method and process of thinking. It may seem like a bit of a cop-out as an answer, but that's what the Rambam says. We do not think in the same way as the Rambam thinks, as the same way as the Rabbeinu Shlomo thinks. It's a completely different process. So the Rabbeinu Shlomo is able to understand something or know something in advance, and yet leave us with a full free choice. People often say, well, I feel like it's a free choice, but if it isn't, then it isn't, that you might feel like it. But this is how the Rambam explains it. The Ravid's not happy, and the Ravid says about the Rambam, just so you can look it up yourselves, he says about the Rambam, Rambam, why do you start something you can't finish? Okay, you start a question, and you seem to be giving an answer, but if I say, I'll give you an answer, we're just as stuck at the end of your answer as we were at the beginning. That's the Ravid's line. But Lamaisa, the Rambam has told us a yesod, that the Rabbeinu Shlomo works in an entirely different way, and therefore the question of Yediyah and Bechira is a question which at the end of the day we don't have an answer that we can understand. We can't, Rabbeinu Shlomo can. Fine. So, what he wants to explain is as follows. That the idea that we have with the Ramosha Hadash, which is that it gives you a lovely explanation for the Parah Aduma. And we said that the Goyim say, Kundarashi, Ma Tam Yeshbo, what's the reason for this? Well, I can give them a very good time. Do you know why we do this mitzvah Parah Aduma? Because we worship the Egel, etc., etc. And this is one is Mechal, but the other we got a perfectly good answer. To that, and this is where the Kasha starts. The Goyim aren't worried about that. Okay, we give them an answer. Lovely, done. But then they can ask the further question about Yediyah and Bechira. But how can you say that the Parah Aduma was there to be Mechav on the Egel, but you hadn't done the Egel Bechal at all? You hadn't done it, you were giving it tomorrow. And therefore that comes. So then we say, that's something that we admit we don't understand, we cannot explain. Ein loch reshus lahari achayah, despite the Rambam attempting to give us a rationale, the mice at the end of the day, the question of Yediyah and Bechira remains a question, remains a paradox for us human beings, and therefore this is something that we say to the Goyim, there are problems in this world that we can't solve, and the question of Yediyah and Bechira is one of them, and we are perfectly upfront in admitting that we cannot solve the problem, although it's in the books, the philosophy books, and the Rambam seem to be happy with his teretz. The fact is that we, normal mortals, cannot solve it, and if Goyim, you have a kasha about us, then we are prepared to live with that kasha. So that's a very nice approach. And so as regards the Ashkofa of Yediyah and Bechira, we admit we don't understand it. But Ein Lo Rishus L'Harei, that because our Sichleinu HaKotzer, our Seichel is limited, and therefore we don't understand it. So in summary, what we've just said, we've got perfectly good rationale for the Parah Aduma, we understand it, Egel. At the end of the day, we're still left with the question of Yediyah and Bechira, and that question we are prepared to live with. We say in the Novi, we line on a Tanis, right, in Haftorah, that Rabbi Shalom thinks in a different way from the human being, and therefore we don't understand how the Rabbi Shalom's thought process works. He can, we can't. Let me bring you the conclusion of Torah Tamimah. The Torah Tamimah works through all the Chazals, and there are lots of them. Yeah, in Parah, the Parsha Parah Aduma, at the end of when he's finished with the Chazals, and it's explained to you all the Chazals, one by one. Ezob Dazo, let's go through this fairly quickly, because otherwise I won't complete what I want to say. And this is now, and that's why I said and amended the title, not only the Inyan of Parah Aduma, but the practice of Parah Aduma. That means, we line it on Shabbos. And you know, and you may have heard, that some people, we'll see who they are, claim that in the same way as having lined Parsha Zocha last week was a deraisa, lining of Parsha Sparan are straying a little bit into Yankees territory of halacha here, some say that the lining of Parah Aduma is also a deraisa. Okay? Let's have a look. Re'inu lahaya haya kam basot Parsha Zuha or achas ashakli in Parsha Betlam. I want to tell you something, says the Torah Tamimah, in general. Tachliso lakaim das eze min arishonim Shekin ma nit penuchol acharein kedvorim she'ein lehem tam v'remes besvara. I want to tell you and resurrect or be matstick something that's written in some of the Rishonim, which is that the lining of Parshas Porah is a doiraisa, which has been nidcha, which has been dismissed by many, many of the Acharonim. They say, no, it's not a doiraisa at all, despite the fact that it's written in Rishonim. The Zehu, Ayin, Bayrachayim, etc. Huvadas, Achas, Tekriyas Parshas Porah, Hava, Chiyub doiraisa, Kamoish Parshas Zocha, that Parshas Porah is the same doiraisa as Parshas Porah. Parshas Zocha and Parshas Porah, of the Mogen of Oron, Beresha Simon, Yuri Agro, Void Acharonim, Dochu, Ze, Mehaloch. They all dismiss it, not true, that Porah is not Doiraisah. We don't find any Makar like we do for Parshas Zocha, Zocha Shehazach Amalek. The Torah tells you to actually be Zocha, and therefore we've got Parshas Zocha. You don't find any such statement in relation to Porah. Zocha, Esa, Porah, etc. So Loimot Sinu Zeh B'Shum Mokah in becoming Tam V'Remez L'Chiyuv Zeh. There's no reason for Porah to be a Chiyuv Doiraisa. That's what these Acharonim say, including Vilna Gaon, as we just heard. Hini V'Posuk Kaf Beis. Hei V'Rashi B'Shem Mim Shesh Koda. That Cholin in Porah Zeh Aporah Tumo. We've done this, I'll whiz through it. Tachliso Mataroso Hi L'Chape Al Maso Eid. We've already learned that Rashi brings quite clearly and in a completely open manner that Porah is an order to Chavei Masa Egel. Ein Shom called Prat and Prat. Baricha Samitzai Marocha Mul Marocha. He matches every item, every part of the procedure in Porah Duma to every part of the procedure of the Egel, of what happened. So it's, you know, knock for knock, so to speak. Called Prat Shebavotza Porah Keneged Inni Kamoim Masa Egel. So we see. We've got that. Now, having that, so have a look at what I've said in Parshas Akev, says the Torah to me. The mitzvah sechiras maaseh o'egel, he mitzvahs aseh kishah mitzvahs. I prove there that the mitzvah of the sechiras maaseh o'egel, it's a mitzvah aseh like shah mitzvahs. Mimor dechsiv sochoya al tishkach es asheh ksavto es asheh melekecho kamipo osu lemaseich. From that pasuk. And if you do the Sheish Schirois, some people do it every day, you will see this pasuk quoted in one of the Sheish Schirois. It says, Zechoya, and it's written on the heading, is written, Zechoya al Tishkai Zechik Tzapta Hashem Lekecha Pamipo. This is meant to be Zechiras Masel Egel. Fair enough. So we seem to be saying that this is recollection and a memorial service, if you like, or Zechira Masel Egel. It's that pasuk. Okay, because of Mogen Avraham, the Marshal Tiknu Likrois Parsha Zu Kamoi Parshas Zechiras Morik. Why weren't they not the Sakan to line Parshas Porah like they were Parshas Morik? Because there's a Gnus of Klal Yisrael. We don't want to mention and line the Parsha of the Egel because it's not nice. Okay? So instead, Avobemus Ain't Tamze Maspik. It can't be mevatel a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Torah says, remember the egel, remember it, zachaya, remember it. So we should line it. So we can't say you don't line it because it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to line the egel. That's not maspik to give you a reason for not doing it. And Taki quotes Gemara in Megillah, that mefarish afa pishyesh by mishum gnusot shel Yisrael. Even though there's gnusot klal Yisrael, we still line it and metargam it, we translate it. So in conclusion, says the Torah to Mimon, Leima Batsira Suarez Mogen Avraham. Yes, it's embarrassing, that's true. And that's why we don't line the parasha of the Egel. But what do we do? What we do is we line the parasha of Porah. Because the Porah matches with the Egel. So by lining the parasha of Porah, we mekayim the Zachira of the sin of the Egel. We're doing it. So therefore, we bolt. It's a mitzvah, I say, in the Torah to remember the Egel. And we are being mekayimit through lining Parshas Porah. Kim tochayis, that Parshas Porah is a doraisa. We're being mekayimit doraisa that way. So it's perfect. Yeah, and epshe lekayim inyan tiknu likros Parshas Porah. Yoitz v'zeh tekriyas Parshas Porah imi doraisa bevuah. V'inyan avshel ha'nema bekavonu ha'rishonim b'mosh posbi. Even though it seems that there is dissent, lemaisa, it's a gutazach, it's a good thing to do. Okay, that is the Torah to me.
It's Beremes in order to preserve the Kovod.
Kovod of Klali, sorry. Yeah. That's the Torah of the Mogen Avraham. The Mogen Avraham, we don't do it. I mean, he said, that doesn't ishkinah, that's not must be, to be mevatel. With the Swallow Mug and Rod. No, I know why. I'll do a Parshas Parah. Because I've got the Egel that way. Through that way.
And I could do a Peremah so that I'm not Mavasha.
I'm not Mavasha. I've got time to do one other thing. And that is the comments of Yaakov Kamenetsky. On the same vein, in the same vein. I did this very quickly, I must finish on time. So, alright, the Torah Tumimah has its pshat. We've got the eagle there through Parshas Parah. Lemaisa, there's a bit of a problem about the posuk that I read to you before. The posuk that we had a look at, which is the one generally accepted as the one which is talking about the eagle, it says actually, Zuchoyz al Tishkach, Ashek Sabtoz Hashem Lakecha Bamidbo. Bamidbo. And then it goes on to say in the next posuk, Ubachoyrev, which is our Sinai, Hik Tzavtim as Hashem. But obviously that's the talking about the Egel. The next posuk talk about the Egel in Kapitel Tes, Posuk Ches, V'choyrev, Hiktzavtim Hashem, V'aloysi Ahorah, L'kachas, Luchas Avonim. That's the mice of the Egel. So the previous posuk, which says, Al Tishkachas Hashem, Hiktzavtim Hashem, L'kecho, Bamidbo, what's that talking about? Can't be talking about the Egel, which is quoted as the Egel posuk, but it's not, says Yaakov Kamenetsky, because the next posuk talks about the Egel. So what's that one talking about? Answer, Morah. The bitter waters at Morah. That's what it's talking about. Remember what you did at Morah. You came across those waters which you couldn't drink. And you quarreled with Moshe Rabbeinu. And you lean him against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a nutshell, I'll tell you what he says. A beautiful pshat. Remember, let's recall, that Morah was the place in which the Parah Duma, the intellectual part of the Parah Duma, was given. Not the mitzvah asiyah, but the mitzvah to learn about the Parah Duma. What happened at Morah was the fact that they hadn't any water to drink. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? The waters were too bitter to drink. So he took a branch, without reading the psukim, he took a branch which was bitter, a special, very bitter branch, and he threw it into the wells. And miraculously, the bitter branch, he should have run up Tate and Lyle and emptied a lorry load of sugar into the water to sweeten it up, shouldn't he? Instead, what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? He takes a bitter branch, throws it in the water, and with that the water becomes sweet. So you see a contradiction turning out to tell Klal Yisrael, things are not as you imagine them to be. I can take a contradiction and resolve that contradiction by taking a bitter branch, which will be metakin, which will actually will make bitter waters sweet. And therefore, in order to underline this idea, I'm giving you the Parah Duma, which also has an internal contradiction to it, to give you the lesson that that is what Torah is all about, and that is what Ayadis is all about. And the Be'er Yosef also says, to be margil ourselves, as long as there is death in the world, and that's a giant contradiction, as long as there is Misa in the world, to remind ourselves that we can live with a contradiction. That is the basis of our whole legal system. That is the basis in which the father tells the son at Seder night, when he's asking about the chukim, this is Mitzrayim, this is what we should be doing. And in fact, the vort is, and the message is, that all the mitzvahs are actually chukim. All the mitzvahs are chukim. We're given object lessons by special examples, presented as bitter waters at Morah, and the Parah Duma, which has a contradiction. We can live with that contradiction. We should understand, no matter how we can penetrate the mitzvahs, at the end of the day, they're all chukim, and we do them in order to satisfy our understanding, not our intellectual understanding of the Torah, but we do them because the Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded us to do them. And this is the message. I wish you all a very good, eventually when it reaches us, a good Shabbos and a good Parah Duma in understanding it, hopefully slightly different.